Everything you know about health is about to change. Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Sometimes people suffer not from lack of faith, but from lack of knowledge. This is the show that changes that. If you are tired of being sick, tired of not getting answers, tired of spinning in circles, for healing is not a mystery. It is a miracle that you were designed to experience. It takes hard work and real knowledge. It takes patience and time. It takes the education this show can provide. So, get it straight today. Here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici, here each Saturday morning for you to deepen your understanding of things you already think you understand, but undoubtedly have to understand on a deeper level. And one of those subjects on the tip of everybody's tongue is optimal immunity, your immune system. Why? Cancer. Just about every autoimmune disease, sickness, colds, flus, you name it. It's difficult to get around the importance of the immune system in the human body. And those of you interested in nutrition, of course, are looking for that wonderful herb. And there's an endless list of herbs that do enhance immunity, many of them in different ways. We're going to get to that today. But as always, the deeper concepts. This show is about the deeper concepts of immunity. And as always, you have to understand a little bit more so you can apply the concepts. So let's get to it. StraightTalk.cc. If you can, get on the website. That's 2 T's, StraightTalk.cc, not .com. Get on that website and look at the pictures. I have a video today that's a mind blower that hopefully we can get to. I put it on there. It's a YouTube clip. And we do so much with technology today, ever amazing technology, where we can actually film macrophages and lymphocytes and killer T cells and natural T killer cells all attacking viruses and bacteria and cancers, and where you can see them in real life 3D. Great stuff. However, although a picture's worth a thousand words, there's concepts we have to attach to this, and we have to get it a little bit deeper than simply buy the local herb. So, concepts in immunity. Why focus on the immune system? Well, you can't separate, first of all, immunity from the inflammatory process. And as I've discussed on so many shows, the inflammatory process creates the terrain in which the cells bathe. So there's three words here. There's the immune system, scavenging and looking for anything that's gone wrong in your body. And then there's different types of immune system cells, each with their own specialized martial art. So the different cells of the immune system you think about as martial artists, each proficient in one taekwondo, another one a different type of kung fu, then karate, then the boxers, then the judokas. And collectively, we have this militia of specialized cells, all of whom talk to each other, all of whom talk to each other by blowing a whistle to inform the other one how to tailor their attack. Against which we have very intelligent microbes, viruses, bacteria, parasites, and of course, the infamous cancer cell. And whether you're talking about bacteria, virus, parasite, or cancer, we'll focus on those today because it's where our immune system generally focuses. Whether you're talking about bacteria, virus, parasite, or cancer, you have to understand concept in red. Those entities are intelligent. Cancer is birthed out of ourselves and represents an intelligent microorganism. Cancer is really our own Frankenstein. Cancer's fascinated me for 2.5 decades. I would say scanning the literature, getting involved, looking at it from inside out and upside down in every single angle. The notion of kill the cancer, well, I don't know about it. Because cancer is a Frankenstein that we create. And perhaps the concept is don't kill it as opposed to Give it an environment that makes it unnecessary to grow. Of course, our immune system doesn't look at it that way. Our immune system, if it can, is consistently sending its militia out to scan, find, locate, and destroy tissues that are non-self. Problem with cancer, of course, is that cancer looks too much like ourself and sometimes fools our immune system. But in the main drift, whether it's microbe, parasite, virus, bacteria, or cancer cells, you have to understand these are intelligent, thinking, dynamic organisms against which our immune system is an intelligent microorganism in a sense of its own, and the two wage war. Now that we get the edge, well, that's the whole story of optimizing immunity. Based on key concepts, let's get into some of the key concepts. All right, first of all, if you can, if you're driving, I'll describe it. If you're doing something else and you can't get to the website, but if you can, go to picture number three. Picture number three. Now, there's a picture of all the cells of the immune system, or many of them, I should say. And that picture has neutrophils, eosinophils, basophils, macrophages, B cells, T cells, natural killer cells. I'm going to focus on four cells today because these cells you're going to hear so much about because they're so critical to what we call optimal immunity, because you're going to hear a lot about them in the literature. The macrophage, the natural killer cell, the B cell, and the T cell. Look at picture number four. If you go to picture number four, you're looking at a fantastic picture of a macrophage. Now, a macrophage is a form of a white blood cell that circulates. If you call it macrophage, it means it's circulating in between the cells of the body. So around every and inside every organ, you're going to have these amoeboid, Pac-Man, tentacled-like creatures called macrophages. And when they're so activated, they're going to effectively reach an arm out, wrap itself around whatever it wants, bacteria, a microbe, a virus, parasite, a heavy metal, any of these things. And those microbes are then sucked inside the macrophage, and the macrophage then secretes different chemicals to destroy the microbe. Now, a macrophage has to be activated. And until it's activated, relatively speaking, it's asleep. And one of the things that activates a macrophage is something called a beta-glucan. Beta-glucans exist in mushrooms. It's why lots of people eat mushrooms. When you hear that you can enhance immunity through the use of the mushrooms, it's because mushrooms, once they're, again, viable, so you have to get the right quality of mushroom, and that's another discussion. But assuming you get the right quality of mushroom, you're going to then be treated to what in the active faction of the mushroom is called a beta-D-glucan. And that component will attach to receptor sites on the macrophage, which makes the macrophage super aggressive. It activates it. So you have to use a word when you talk about immune system cells. It doesn't matter. You're talking about a B cell. You're talking about a killer T cell. You're talking about a T helper cell. You're talking about a macrophage. You're talking about a lymphocyte. When you talk about the immune system warriors, there's another step involved called activation. Activation is where environment comes in. This is an important concept. You can have all the cells of the immune system assembled, but all those cells require activation. We can say the bone marrow, which produces most of these cells, is functional. We can have this militia lined up at the right numbers, but that doesn't mean we have the variables to create activation of the immune system. This is a concept. What would you rather have? 100 inert martial artists or 25 fantastic, super dynamic martial artists? It's like that film 300. Just 300 active warriors could defeat 30,000 stiffs. The variability in immune system function very often isn't about the number, although there's something called immunosenescence, which means as you get older, because the bone marrow begins to decay. As you get older, because the bone marrow begins to deteriorate, you're going to find yourself producing immune system cells in smaller numbers. But that aside, and you really don't have to get too concerned about that until you're past 60. That aside, it's the quality, it's the aggressivity, it's the activation of each of these immune system warriors that's very much under your control one way or the other. Classic example, sleep. If you don't sleep, your immune system's dead. One of the marvelous things about the microscope is you can take blood from people, put it under a microscope, and look at the white blood cells under the microscope, and you'll see very different degrees of aggressivity. You'll either see white blood cells just sitting there dead and still, or you'll see them scurrying across the frame, obviously active, obviously electric, obviously dynamic, obviously hunting for what they're supposed to hunt for. So aggressivity or activation of the immune system is under our control, without which you can infuse as much as you want. They may be dead. You see this in cancer today. In cancer research today, one of the great moves, one of the touted therapies, is to take out your NK cells or your killer T cells, clone them, clone your own cells, and inject them back into you. This is being touted as one of the great breakthroughs, and to some extent it is. However, you see, when you talk about the aggressivity, when you talk about the electrical force, well, now you're talking about a different story. And of course, much to the dismay of the people doing this, the therapies, although on theoretical terms should work, in vitro they may work, but we're not there yet. It's like stem cell therapy. We understand how to inject stem cells into a little mouse whose kidney's failing and have the kidney regenerate, but when we actually use it in human beings, we have problems. And this is the thing about going from the test tube or the petri dish or the laboratory or the small furry animal into the massive ecosystem of Homo sapien, of human being. And you see this with the immune system when we clone the cells because we don't have enough killer T's or NK's to kill tumors, and yet we don't get the job done. And a big part of that is the quality of the warrior. Now, this is good news for you because you have a great deal of control, sleep being one great example of what we know. Do your own Google search, sleep and immunity. What real sleep, deep sleep, prolonged sleep does for the immune system. Well, we don't really have a measurement to determine the overall effect, meaning there's no end to it, and so on and so forth. And I'm going to get to other things that measure variability of those immune system cells. So, concept. You've got four or five martial arts masters, macrophages, B cells, T cells, NK cells, lymphocytes, dendritic cells, scanning and searching for microbes, scanning and searching for non-self cancer cells. It's not the numbers, it's the quality. The quality's under your control. Now that's the macrophage. Then we've got the lymphocyte. We do our own genetic engineering. Our lymphocytes, produced first and foremost in the bone marrow, produced secondarily in the spleen. The lymphocyte has receptor sites on it for bugs, for microbes. And when the B lymphocyte has a receptor site that fits any one of the enemies, any one of the microbes circulating, any one of the viruses circulating, that fits into the receptor site on the B lymphocyte gets activated. Again, it's that word activation. The receptor on the lymphocyte activates when a microbe fits into it. And that activation produces the antibody. The B lymphocyte will genetically engineer, so to speak, its own antibody specifically targeted to the type of virus that it catches in its receptor site. Now, I'm simplifying, of course. But if you want to see genetic engineering, if you want to see how the evolution of our organism has given us an infinite variety of attacks based on sequencing its genome to the genome of the virus. Well, the interaction between the lymphocyte, the virus, and the antibody that's produced after the lymphocyte is activated, there is a wonderful example of it. And of course, those antibodies we all know as the IgGs, the IgMs, the IgEs. And anytime you want to know whether or not you were exposed to a particular virus, or if you've got that virus actively destroying and creating havoc in your body, you take an antibody panel and it'll show you your IgGs for chronic exposure, old exposure, your IgMs, immunoglobulin Ms, for the active dynamic exposure. If you're currently actively infected, say by virus, your IgMs go up. If your IgMs are low, but your IgGs are very high for a particular virus, say Epstein-Barr virus, cytomegalovirus, whatever. If your IgGs are high, it means you've had long-term chronic exposure. You may have been exposed 10 years ago. And so the only trace, of course, would be your IgGs. And these are our lymphocytes. Now take a look at the picture, if you can. Take a look at picture number 16. Actually 17, your natural killer cells. Natural killer cells go after cancer. They're one of our big cancer killers, the NK cells and the killer T cells. The NKs are produced, again, in the bone marrow. And they circulate, and they put their claws onto a cancer cell. If the cancer cell sufficiently deceives the NK cell, if the cancer cell is capable of masking itself, the NK cell doesn't see it. If the cancer cell has overwhelmed the NK cell by protecting itself in a biofilm, then the NK cell is ineffective. If the NK cell is not vital, again, that concept again, important concept, is the NK cell vital? And is that vitality being fed by fundamentally all the health of your body, not just sleep? We're going to talk about stress later. We're going to talk about exposure to electromagnetic radiation. If you're not getting your sleep, you're being microwaved each day by your computer, microwaved on the freeway, microwaved by the machinery you use at work, microwaved in the factory, microwaved simply because the house you live in hasn't been circuited correctly, and you're not sleeping, and you're under stress. We're not talking about a normal, healthy, vitalized NK cell. But in the ideal of it, if that NK cell is vital, what it does, and what it does throughout the entire body, is fascinating. It's like the ultimate cuddle bug. What it does is it wraps itself around at some fantastic speed anything it can put its claws into. It's like someone at a party running to each and every person at rapid speed in the party and hugging them and pushing every part of their body into the person that's being hugged and then moving on to the next person. And the minute the NK cell senses that what it's wrapped itself around is non-self, is toxic to the human organism, it injects poisons into it and wastes it. You're going to see a video later on. I've got a 2-minute video of these cells doing this. It's absolutely fascinating. Your natural killer cells, your NKs, love to go after cancer. Other things too, but cancer, I'll say first and foremost. Your macrophages are the general garbage men of the body. They'll eat anything. And the macrophages are in cooperation with other cells. When macrophages get activated, messages go out via cytokines and other sorts of mechanisms to other immune system cells. So the macrophage will be talking to the B lymphocyte. A cell we haven't mentioned yet are the killer Ts. The killer Ts, most of the killer Ts are already made and matured through the thymus gland. Thymus gland is a gland that's got an interesting history. At birth, it's large. At birth, it's active. Within a couple of years, the gland begins to atrophy. By adulthood, as the literature goes, it's relatively useless. But what it does is it matures killer T cells. And those killer T cells circulate through your body and go off into their own ecosystem for the rest of your life. But the number, power, specificity of those killer T cells are stimulated in the first year or so by the thymus gland. And again, by adulthood, that gland is irrelevant. Your killer T cells are another very, very active cell against cancer and other things too. So if you look at those cells then, you've got your killer Ts, you've got your macrophages, you've got your B lymphocytes, you have your natural killer cells, and then there's one more cell, and this is like the runner. This cell is like the runner of the immune system. It's called a dendritic cell. A dendritic cell is a cell fully matured coming out of the marrow that the body uses to scout for problems before it deploys its more potent forces. It expends the dendritic cell. One of the therapies today for cancer is dendritic cell therapy, where your dendritic cells are cloned, multiplied, and injected back into your body. Again, a tool, not a cure-all, not nearly a cure, but something to take the edge off. High prices are charged in the major cancer clinics throughout the world today for something called dendritic cell therapy. And again, we're going back to my main point, that what we call into question is the cell's quality, not its quantity. And what we're doing today, of course, in the typical somewhat myopia of science, is measuring efficacy. We're measuring effect partly by numbers. If you have one dendritic cell and we can put 50 million in, well, then isn't that better? Topically, that's reasonable. It's understandable to approach it that way. But the point is, what are the quality? What is the electrical force of something not defined by nature, but synthetically argued, synthetically produced? Do we have a chemistry that can measure the difference in the electrical force? And we have to think about this because we aren't curing cancer with these solutions. And yet on paper, they sound wonderful. I've seen time and time and time again, and I'm harping on this today because this is one of the new breakthroughs in cancer therapy. Pull your own cells out, clone them, inject them back in a nutshell. Not working. Yes, we have anecdotal, we have case studies where we've seen miracles. But by and large, if you're in there in the trenches looking at the effect rates, the levels of true efficacy, this isn't working. And I want to offer you this understanding, and that is that you have to go into the natural mechanisms within yourself and promote those mechanisms. We're going to get to that in a moment when we talk about the bone marrow. All right. Now, bone marrow. Bone marrow is where most of these cells are produced. Most of your immune system cells are produced in the bone marrow. And the bone marrow does something as you age. This is so understood in physiology that we attach a word to it. It's called immunosenescence. I put an article on the top of the page called Immunosenescence of Aging. Read that later. It's out of one of the pathology journals. And it tells us what we know. And that is as you age, your bone marrow produces less in terms of the numbers. So if the load, if the toxic load, if the microbial population, if the microbes that have time over years to take advantage of a deteriorated neighborhood, of a ghetto, if the microbes or the cancer cells, let's talk about cancer. Cancer as a cell. Oncologists will tell you cancer can spread as a cell. We think we got it all, but there might be one cell that we didn't get. And in 10 years, it's coming back, or 5 years, it's coming back. They like to use the 5-year marker. But what are they saying? They're saying that if you cut out a tumor and we think we got it all, we may not have got it all. And one cell may end up coming back to you 5 to 10 years later and creating trouble. That's telling you something. It's telling you it takes a long time sometimes for a single cancer cell to mature into a tumor, a dangerous population, a metastatic entity. Sometimes it takes a long time. The point is there is a toxic load in any given moment growing in your body, a toxic load of virus, a toxic load of parasite, a toxic load of bacteria, a toxic load of cancer, a toxic load of various chemicals, all of which your immune system will attack, one of them being the macrophage. And as you age, the toxic load increases. As you age, the biofilms or the protective sheaths around your toxic loads get thicker. And then as you age, the bone marrow becomes more immunosenescent. It begins to go fibrotic as you age. The red, vibrant, immunoproducing part of the bone marrow gets filled with fat and fibrosis, and you pump out less immune system warriors. Your quantities We're not talking quality now, but your quantities begin to decrease. So look at aging. Aging is that time frame in which the organs of excretion congest. Aging is the time frame in which your sleep becomes more and more disturbed. Aging is the time frame in which your stresses become bigger and bigger. Aging is the time frame in which chemicals and microbes increase in quantity to the point where they wrap themselves in biofilms, in cocoons, in sheaths. And in doing that, protect themselves from whatever available immune system you have. And then aging is the process in which the immune system and the cells decrease in number because the bone marrow is becoming more and more fibrotic. Now, that's the perfect storm. Can you get a sense of why we see cancers skyrocket after 50? I mean, cancer's pushing the 1 out of 2. It's not 1 out of 3 anymore. It's more than 1 out of 3. It's pushing that 1 out of 2. The people getting cancer are getting younger all the time. I wouldn't say that's where the mass increase is. But the mass increase in the cancer rates in this country, at least, are very much over the age of 60. Now, there's the perfect storm. Less warriors, more toxicity hidden, and less quality electric force to the immune system cells we do produce. Now, compare that to those of you trusting that the local herbologist is going to activate your immunity. If you're depending merely on an herb, a super herb, an exquisitely imported and processed herb to promote your immunity, well, that's a good thing. But against what I just laid down, against the paradigm that belies the foundation for optimal immunity, you can't compare the two. And this is the gift I give to you. But it comes for a price. And that price is you got to dig a little deeper. And every Saturday when you listen to this show, I ask you to dig a little deeper. I even ask you to get back on the website, that's straighttalk.cc. Those of you driving today, get on that website, 2t's.cc, and take a look at it and take a look at the pictures and listen to the words again. Because they're conceptual. And although you may think you understand, I assure you, if you put yourself into it, your understanding will deepen. This is a big theme for my shows. The depth of your understanding. You may hear the same word 1,000 times. You may hear the same statement made 1,000 different ways. And what I'm asking you to do is receive it more deeply. That's an important aspect of learning, to receive with depth, to bring more of yourself to the concept. And you need to do that because, you see, ultimately you use these concepts to dig yourself out of disease. And if you simply have a cerebral understanding, you won't. So when we talk about the bone marrow, we're talking about two pieces to the bone marrow, the red bone marrow and the white bone marrow. The white bone marrow is the fat of the bone marrow. Now, in the fat is where we store our poisons. That's the way it goes in modern industrial society. The body puts its poisons in the fat. And ironically, people without a lot of body fat, without that little extra pad, I kid you not, their bone marrow is, in lieu of that fat, used as a reservoir for the most noxious lipophilic garbage. Well, I'm glad the bone marrow has its fat. Because if it didn't, perhaps the red part, the part that makes the stem cells, the part that makes the immune system cells, well, it may fibrose far earlier. But what we're laying the foundation for is the understanding that it's key to cultivate the bone marrow. Really, optimal immunity is about cultivating the vitality of the marrow. As you age, all too often, you're taught or you learn that your bones become brittle. As you age, all too often, one fall and the hip is broken. We've all been raised to watch the geriatric, the plus 75 individual hobble across the street looking like they're going to tip. Like if the wind blows too hard, they'll hit the floor, crack all their bones, and die of pneumonia due to a hip fracture. And unfortunately, this is what happens to a lot of people. And it reflects a society that doesn't really honor the marrow. Honor the marrow. Go to picture number 30. In the East, we've adapted the Kung Fu to something called bone marrow Qigong. And other cultures have done the same thing. Natural medicine throughout the millennium have understood how to employ techniques to get to the marrow. There are prolific differences in the vitality of the marrow, as demonstrated, as exemplified by the fact that the people that really practice the different marrow qigongs maintain a pliability of the bone well into their 80s that most people half their age don't boast of. The flexibility of the bone is obvious when you watch a person move. And when you watch people who have mastered these arts, who put as much time into them as somebody else does into their gardening. So I'm not talking about unreasonable amounts of time. I'm talking about reasonable levels of respect to what it takes to keep relationship with the marrow of the bone. And again, this is where your Tai Chis, Qigongs, Kung Fus, and Yogas, correctly done, all lead you to. In Chinese medicine, we have a word called Jing. Jing means bone or marrow or essence. The essence of the individual is in the marrow. And the time-honored traditions of these different therapies all bring you to a evolving plasticity or flexibility within the bone. We say, when young, the bones are vibrant and supple. I mean, they bend, and there is a certain degree of torsion in our bones, most of which is gone after the age of 60. And this cultivation of the bone, we need to instill this within American culture, because when the articles abound on immunosenescence, and I put one on the site today, the immunosenescence of aging. I put it there today because we're asking ourselves, why after the age of 60 do we see the immune-oriented diseases, cancer being number one, begin to skyrocket? And this is directly proportional to the fibrosis of the marrow. Is that fascinating to you? That is fascinating to me. That is fascinating to me, that a culture would understand this, that cultures throughout the world, that ancient cultures have understood how to feed the marrow of the bone, feed it through practice, health practices derived to keep the marrow vibrant, to effectively pump out the immune system cells and the stem cells. Do this now. Take a moment. I want you to go to the top. If you're just driving, I'll try to mouth this as much as I can. Everybody else, go to the top and look at this YouTube clip. It's absolutely fascinating. Take it right from the beginning. Listen to the music. It's beautiful. NK cells. You're 8 seconds in. We're watching NK cells dissolve. Then we're watching a natural killer cell destroy a cell infected by viruses. They got a great musical theme to this YouTube clip. These cells, they look like little scrubbing bubbles that brush up against particular cells. And here's a white blood cell, a neutrophil, chasing at high speed some sort of a bacteria. And the bacteria is eluding it until finally, in one big swoop, the neutrophil engulfs it and dissolves it. Then we've got another pic of a natural cancer cell going inside the gut of a cancer cell and literally gutting it and dissolving it. And then we go on to watching a T cell, a cytotoxic killer T, a killer T in green, attacking a cancer cell and just dissolving it. Later on, go back. If you're driving, I assure you, get back to the website, straighttalk.cc, two T's, and look at these wonderful clips. You're getting virtual reality on our immune system. The joy technology brings us. It really, really gives you an understanding of what I'm talking about here today. Now, these pictures here, this video invokes the ideal immune system. And you can see the aggressivity of these cells. The video I wish I had for you is what it looks like when the immune system cells get stupid. And they do get stupid. Now, there's one little trick that the microbial world and the cancer cells play on the immune system. There's one little trick. And you have to understand how the immune system works. The immune system is looking for receptor sites on the microbe or the cancer cell that fits its receptor site. So we say that the immune system cell has these chemical entities that will receive a particular type of a microbe or a cancer cell. And that will signal to the immune system cell to activate, whether it's producing its lymphocyte or whether it's going to then inject cytokines or other types of chemicals into the cell and destroy it, or whether it's going to cause the immune system cell to blow its whistle and bring in other cells to come to the rescue. Whatever it's going to do, the interaction between what's doing the killing and what's going to be killed is about a meeting between two sites, usually on the membranes of both entities. Now, in the case of cancer, in the case of microbes, sometimes the cancer cells get smart. And what they do is hide their markers and make it very difficult for our immune system to recognize the cancer cell as non-self. Cancer's tricky for our immune system. And this trickiness has its own evolution. So a single cancer cell that escapes, a surgery that's floating around looking to metastasize, looking to grow its own colony, that single cancer cell may escape our surveillance. Because after all, it is part of self. And this is where cancer gets tricky, but cancer also has to find a terrain in which to grow itself and the amount of time it takes to bury itself in the terrain, to hide itself even more. In that shade of gray, our immune system has more time to get smart. And I'm going to say that again because it's big. You have to understand, those of you listening today, you have to understand that you are given a fable about the immune system, that for as fascinating as the immune system is, for as many things that control its viability, for as many techniques as we've developed in the labs, in the test tubes, in vitro, to breed, clone, triple, quadruple the quantities, for as much as this is marvelous, there is no orientation towards terrain. If you put quadruple zillion killer T cells, NK cells, and everything you're going to need to eat a tumor in an ecosystem that is toxic and filthy, like a muddy swamp, you don't get the job done. Whether you're talking virus, bacteria, parasite, other types of microbes, or you're talking cancer, you cannot talk about immunity without talking about the terrain. This is a topic I've discussed before in detail. This represents a schism in microbiology in the 1850s between Beauchamp and Pasteur and others, Claude Bernard, Virchow, all in the 1860s, 70s, 80s, understood the significance of terrain as it relates to mitigating microbial influence, and we can add cancer to that. This has gone completely out the window. It is a travesty when you talk to your oncologist about the prospects of having recurrence when you have a cancer. It is a travesty because if you mention lifestyle, they look at you like you're stupid. Yet only a short time ago, really in terms of history, a short time ago, was terrain considered by the most eminent microbiologists and pathologists we have ever known, from Virchow to Bernard to Beauchamp, exceedingly credentialed men, at least the equal of Pasteur. It was a short time ago that these names held fast to the notion that you can have whatever you want in terms of your immune warriors, but if they're acting in a terrain, the microbes, the cancer, will find a way to hide. And this is the thing about you if you're sick. If you're sick, if you're suffering, if you're spinning, if you don't know why your cancer won't go away, if you don't know why your microbe won't go away, your chronic infection won't go away, if you don't know, or if you fear a recurrence after you've done due diligence, you've had your tumor excised, and done everything else you've been asked to do, and yet the probabilities of recurrence are great. If you feel enslaved to the statistics of survival rate over 5 years, you have to understand that you're being denied this whole other concept of in what terrain is that cancer cell living? In what terrain is that microbe living? And if you don't know how to address the terrain, you cannot optimize the power of what God gave you to destroy your tumors. And that's your immune system. This is the faux pas. This is the travesty of Western science. They are myopic. So I kind of turned today's show on you. We were talking about the immune system warriors. We were talking to you somewhat about their mechanisms. We were talking to you somewhat about how to enhance immune system function. And yet with all of that, it is the terrain that in the end will rule. And we're seeing this time and time and time again if we really look. Terrain is what my other 304 shows are about. terrain is what natural health is about. And sooner or later, the notion of terrain will have a stronger voice in microbial theory and in cancer theory. It is inevitable because it is true. And when we're running into walls, case in point, we're cloning your immune system cells, injecting them back in, as in dendritic cell therapy. And I think we're doing it with killer T cells. And for as much as we're touting these occasional successes, by and large, these therapies are still failing. If you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. I provide for you perspectives in healthcare. And if you're willing to get involved, and you have to get involved, if you're willing to, well, get your elbows dirty, get in there and make the lifestyle changes, do what you have to do, I invite you to this phone number, 714-850-1007, 714-850-1007, because you do have alternatives. There are mechanisms endowed to you that you have to activate. And if you go through the process, you'll receive the benefit. My office is here to give you guidance in that process. Guidance on every level. 714-850-1007. Terrain. Stress. Every study done shows us that a sympathetic dominant individual, and if you don't know what that term is, just listen to the past shows. People who are stressed, high cortisol feeds tumors. High cortisol feeds infection. If you are stressed, and I don't mean the antidote is a glass of red wine at night, and I don't mean the antidote is a week's vacation. I mean if the style of your life puts you in a highly stressed predicament most of the time, that cortisol will feed your tumor. That cortisol will feed your microbe. That cortisol will feed your disease. Sympathetic dominant fibers, impulses from the sympathetic nervous system, grow tumors. They paralyze the immune system cells. Without deep sleep and without a true cultivated ability to put oneself in parasympathetic bliss. So I'm going to change the terminology about relax yourself. I'm going to call it parasympathetic bliss. Because you talk about relaxation, you talk about stress, these words are used so many times, they fail to be functional. To use a functional term regarding stress, relaxation, I'm going to tell you, until you are in relaxation bliss, which is an evolution for you, if you're in a state of chronic illness, if you're concerned about a recurrence of a cancer, if you live with a chronic infection and you're spinning around in circles, to learn to evolve yourself to the point where each and every day you live in a relative relaxatory bliss, the bliss of relaxation, that is your obligation. And until you hit that level, you won't optimize your immunity. It's the same with sleep. You can start with 2 hours and then you're awake. You can evolve that to 5 hours. And there's a point where you hit the pillow and you're out for 8 to 9 to 10 hours. And when you wake up in the morning, you don't know where you are and you don't know what time it is. That's the kind of sleep that builds health. And until you get to those levels. So concept, critical mass. The critical mass you bring to the marrow of the bone. The critical mass point you bring to your sleep. The critical mass point you bring to relaxatory bliss. The critical mass point you bring to the electrical force of your meridian, the electrical force of your immune system, the critical mass by invoking systems in the body that are latent and waiting to activate is where you get your return on the level of immunity. To do a show like this, I have to mention, on picture 29, one of the great immunostimulatory therapies. And that's hydrochloric acid and mineral therapy and mushroom therapy. Shiitake, maitake, reishi, coriolis, cordyceps. High quality mushrooms, processed correctly, hopefully in liquid tincture form, and used liberally, are powerful herbal remedies to activate the immunity. They do not substitute for the basics. But here's a therapy so powerful, I'd call it a basic. That's picture 29, hydrochloric acid and mineral therapy, HCL therapy. Get the book. It's $6. Walter Guy Bryant, the 1930s. The use of hydrochloric acid to supercharge the macrophages. Easy therapy, inexpensive therapy, a therapy so powerful, I'd call it a fundamental therapy. And there you have it. Today's show on immunity. Conceptual. Not to be found on YouTube. Get to the website, straighttalk.cc. Look at that wonderful video. Review the show. If anyone needs help, that's 714-850-1007. We'll see you next week.
Okay, that's a wrap. Don't forget to get to Dr. Medici's website at drmedici.com to look at the pictures and review the show as often as you wish. See you next week.